Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
When I first heard this song, there's no chance I thought it would be the huge success that it would be. Not that it's a bad song, or did I think it was, but
14 weeks at number one.
Unbelievable. And this dude came into the building.
Really?
The dude that was at Lil Nas X, right? Is that the guy's name?
He came in, he was here for Rolling Loud, and just
yeah,
kind of
he came in and did Power 96, a little tour around the building, and it was a hit. And not only that, but you got to think, it's a country song, so you hit Power 96, you go to Kiss Country, right next to each other. Boom.
Two for one.
Is it a country song, though? I don't know if this is a country song.
Billy Ray Cyrus is in the song. Hannah Montana's dad.
Isn't it a crossover?
Yes.
Either way could claim it.
Power 96 claimed it. 99.9 claimed it. So it became a country rap hit. And like you said, 14 weeks now, it's been number one on the charts. Okay, speaking of number one in people's hearts in the charts right now, we're still on the Russell Westbrook watch. Dave Hyde has a column out in the Sun Sentinel, by the way, sunsentinel.com. And we've been talking about this in nauseam for days now, waiting for something to happen. And now I believe it's come down to, which in the beginning, I'm sure that obviously was a big factor in it, but now it has come down to the price tag for the Heat. It has really come down to that. Instead of just trying to jump on it, what do you want for Russ? How many teams are involved? We need to get ahead of this. I believe it's now the Heat, like you said, just negotiating against themselves and now trying to figure it out. I even read at one point, and maybe I'm wrong with this, but some writers around the country and pundits around the country are saying to sweeten the deal to make it work, OKC should throw a first-round pick in it also. What?
Yeah, it's gone from when this news first broke or when Paul George was traded and you realize, okay, well, they got to be trading Russell Westbrook,
of course,
too.
There's
no sense in keeping him. And, oh, my God, the Heat can get Russell Westbrook to go with Jimmy Butler. And then you, if you walked around the idea and you saw, A, Russell Westbrook's contract, B, the fact he's turning 31, and the analytics of him are diminishing, and you saw that fact he hasn't won anything, and certainly in the last 3 years, the team that he's featured and with Paul George has a good team. They've been knocked out of the playoffs in the first round. Okay, the Heat are the one with leverage, not Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
The Heat are the team you're realizing that has the leverage here, and the leverage starts with, do they want them? And at what cost? And that was really what I wrote about in my column. What cost would you bring Russell Westbrook here? And I'm not trading, as was mentioned at the start of this, the
like two of the young guys are all
my
three.
Young guys.
Yes.
I'd send Justice Winslow and other, you know, Goron and Myers just coming in from Portland to make
money
it
matches
work.
Up. Yes,
but you know that you're not really improving yourself that dramatically if you look at this. If you break it down, you're sixth or seventh in the East right now. You're probably fourth or fifth with Russell Westbrook, and you're not going to be improving in the next 4 years. So do you want to tie yourself to that? That's what the Heat are, you know, walking around and debating.
Trying
right
to figure out, yes. And the only what I'd have to look at is if they do make this trade, and, you know, obviously they're not looking for another, you know, a part of a big three next offseason. I know that, but where's the cap space? What is
well,
it going to be?
You got nothing. You got nothing.
Because there'll be some guys off the books, right?
Yeah, but in 2 years. Goran's the only one coming off the books next
after the season.
And then you got Deion Waiters and James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk in 2 years.
So after next season.
Assuming they pick up, like Olynyk has a player option. Assuming he picks that up.
I believe he's going to pick it up.
And so you're really going nowhere right now. So this is you're saying with Butler making about what's 4 years, $142 million, so about, you know, $35 million a year,
36,
and
yep.
You got Russell Westbrook making, let's average it out to $40 million a year. There's over half your salary cap in two players. So you really have no wiggle room with the salary cap. And the other point, remember, Adam Silver came out this week, and one thing he said they're wrestling with is the players wanting to go to only a few spots.
Demanding trades to certain teams.
Yes, and what's one of the teams they want to go to here? This is a landing spot.
Of course.
So do you shut yourself, you turn the valve off from that for the next 4 years?
I guess just depending on what you think might be available in the next couple of years, because if, you know, we always talked about this free agent class. For the last couple of years, even when Pat signed all those guys up, Deion, James, signed Kelly, Hassan Whiteside, when all that was signed up, it was all built, as he thought, to make a couple deals before it all happens, and then this summer go after the whale. So the whale is going to be Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler if that does end up happening for Pat, and it's not through free agency, it's through trades or whatever you had to do to get that. If we look at the landscape of the NBA free agency in the next 2 years and you do not see a good possible option or enough guys out there where you might be the team to land one of these guys, then I think you have to go for this, because this might be the only thing you have in the next 2 years. There's a lot of times when they sign players where you know kind of at the end, more in baseball now, I think, when guys sign 10-year deals and you worry about what a guy's going to look like at 39 years old making $35 million. But in basketball, I just kind of look at it a little bit different. I think guys are playing. It's not like Tom Brady at 45 playing in the NFL and he never gets hit. This is a physical sport, NBA, and Russell Westbrook takes a lot, gets hit a lot, gets pounded a lot. I just look at it and say, is there going to be a better option in 2 years than the possibility, and we're worried about Russell breaking down, being injured, and just not being a great jump shooter. Is there a better option out there in 2 years?
Well, one thing we've learned from this run in free agency in the last couple of weeks, contracts mean nothing. Paul George signed a 5-year deal. After 1 year, he says, let me out. And Oklahoma City traded him.
Yep.
That tells you any deal, everybody's open for a movement at any point.
No matter what.
And so you can't just look at free agent class anymore. You have to say, okay, who might be unhappy? Who could come on the market? You know, and if the Heat are a landing spot. Miami, South Florida, the organization they have.
You're right.
It's hard to know without – now, the interesting thing that's also come out, how Riley at 74 hasn't slowed down. Now, he has gone all the scouting trips this summer, you know, flying all over, sometimes in a personal plane with Heat scouts.
Sure.
And he's gone to the summer camps, gone to all the workouts in Chicago pre-draft.
You see him every night now in the
Sacramento,
summer league.
Sacramento. Yep. Vegas. I thought at 74, Pat Riley might be, you know, saying, hey, I don't need to do that. It's the opposite. He's where all the scouts are. He's talking with agents. And really, you need to talk to the agents to know, okay, what's your guy thinking about, you know, 2 years down the line? Or, hey, you see Paul George walked out of his contract. And that's the scary thing for Adam Silver, that these contracts are going to mean nothing coming up.
No, you're right. And the way I kind of look at it also with that, with Pat Riley, is Pat is looking for one more big move to make to try to turn this team around and get them back into the spot. Is he going to get them back into championship contention? I don't know. Not with Russell Westbrook and Jimmy just by themselves. You need something else or
but
more.
But if you say that, why do that?
Because if you don't, you're the 41-41 team.
And if you, but you're sixth or seventh if you don't, you're fourth if you do. Is it worth shutting off that? And that's the question that he'd have to ask themselves: is it worth shutting off future options to be fourth in the East?
How much are they looking into Tyler Hero's next couple of years and Bam's next couple of years? Because if they think at that point that those two guys are going to be some of the future of this team, then I'm okay doing the Russell Westbrook trade Russell and Jimmy give you the superstars right now, the young guys, build into something, and in 2 years or 3 years, when everyone is supposedly going to be crying over this big deal, this Russell Westbrook deal and Jimmy's deal on the books, if Bam and Tyler Hero or Justice, you know, depending on if he gets moved or not, take that next step, then you're good. Then you're good in the East. Then you might have put yourself in championship contention. You might have.
Well, you can't. I agree with you.
Look, you have to bet on might have at this point because there is no shoo-in in the NBA. There's no, unless you have LeBron or that Golden State team, there, you are not a shoo-in. There's no more shoo-in in the NBA.
But you don't know 3 years from now where it's going to look either. Sure. All you will know if you're the Heat is we're going to have Russell Westbrook for $42 and $47 million
in the last two years.
And look, they've gone through this with Chris Bosh,
sure,
where a quarter of the salary cap you're getting very little from. But I love what you said. Adebayo, to me, has a big ceiling still. And Hero, I can't believe we're saying this off Summer League, but you watch him play, and look, I was told that analytics-wise, his shot was the second best in the draft. And he comes in, and you can see the court, the way he plays in, and he can handle the ball in Summer League. At 19, there's a big upside there. So we'll see where that goes. But you don't want to shut off a quarter of your salary cap either.
I understand that point. I just look at it as you have to live in the now. I mean, I understand living 4 years from now and looking at that salary cap. It's something that probably, if it's not working out, that we're going to be cringing on. But if you have a chance to get Russell Westbrook right now, and you balk on it, you're going to be paying for it as a franchise. Because I don't know if there's going to be other guys that are going to want to come down and just play with Jimmy Butler. I don't. I have no idea. And right now, you need a guy to get a guy. No guy is coming. No guy is going straight.
Well,
to
they
Toronto.
Have a guy. They have Jimmy Butler.
But I don't know if that's going to be the bait in the water to get another guy in. I don't know. But right now, you have the opportunity to do it. And if you don't, you might have put yourself back even further.
I would align this to, and I mentioned this yesterday, what Detroit did with Blake Griffin. Where when they made the move, oh, my God, they got Blake Griffin.
Chance to get more guys to play with Blake.
And now the difference is Detroit ain't going to get free. They have to make trades like
sure.
that. But
Miami does.
Right now they're saddled with the next 3 years of Blake Griffin at high $30 million salary. You're not going to be making any moves. That's become how now they're wondering, how do we move on from Blake Griffin?
Yeah, at this point, I bet you there's guys in the Detroit front office going, man, I wonder if all these trades are going down, if we can't get something from
Blake Griffin.
Damn,
Stan Van Gundy
making that trade. Hey, sometimes teams get desperate. We saw it with the Heat a couple years ago. We're still kind of blaming Pat Riley for that now. What Deion Waiters, big deal. James Johnson, big deal. And it wasn't big money deals. They weren't getting $30 million a year, but you locked yourself into those deals. Kelly Olynyk, was he worth it? And Hassan Whiteside. Like, I understand that. This is a chance to bring another superstar in and not mediocre guys. And I think Russell Westbrook
now
is
it's also a chance in 2 years you will be behind this microphone saying,
absolutely.
Oh, my God, they got Russell Westbrook. They're no better than fourth or fifth in the East, and they're locked into him for the next 2 years. Pat Riley has just got this. Again, he didn't learn from the previous bad contracts. He took on another one. You'll be saying that.
It's a good possibility, sure. But I think I'm ripping him more for the mediocre guys he signed to deals than it would be for the whale that just became an older whale.
But that's the question. Is Russell Westbrook of 31 now in November the Russell Westbrook of 26? And NBA people say no.
Yeah, probably
they say
not.
He's losing his athleticism and he doesn't have an outside game to replace it. So you got to be aware of this if you're going to make the trade.
Of course. You can't just jump. I understand that. But sometimes you have to. Before tipping your toe in the water, you just got to dive in.
You just want him to dive in.
I just want him to dive in. I think that's where I'm at.
Oh,
wait, right now.
Look, it'd be a fun watch.
I want it to be
see
fun
where
too.
It goes. It'd be fun. It'd be electric at nights. There'd be highlight reels.
Yep.
All that.
The NBA right now is about duos, and we have a Jimmy Butler. I need a duo. I need something. I need something to put me in contention in the East, and that puts you in contention in the East. Does it win the East? I don't know. But it puts you up there as a team you got to look out for. Russell Westbrook, Jimmy Butler, two of the best.
It puts you through the first round of the playoffs.
It puts you through the first round.
It doesn't make you a top contender in the East.
Unless Tyler Hero becomes Tyler Hero.
Well, if Tyler Hero becomes a hero, then do you really need Russell Westbrook? I mean,
you need a guy to drive to the hoop and get Tyler a shot.
You just want Russell Westbrook. I get that. Everybody, I'm so bad on it. You want that shiny object, that big name.
I told you, from the second you walked in here Monday morning, I am shiny object guy. And right now.
But he won't be a shiny object. You better win the first 2 years, because the back 2 years of that contract are heavy money, and he's going to be – his numbers are showing they're diminishing by the last 2 years. You don't know what player he'll be.
You're betting on – you're betting on Russell Westbrook not losing all of his game by year 3 and 4. That's what I'm betting on. I'm hoping. Because once you're right, once you get into those mid-30s and your game is all about athleticism,
and here's the thing that scares me. Paul George and Russell Westbrook knocked out of the first round of the playoffs in the West by Portland and Utah. It's not like they were knocked out by Golden State the last 2 years. They were knocked out by teams that in no way were they great. And now you have Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook. And okay, so and you're expecting them to win the East? I mean, let's be realistic here.
Maybe not expecting, hoping. Is hoping a good word to use there? All right, let me tell you about Panu Laser and Vision Institute. The summer is here, folks. Sunglasses, going to the beach, the whole deal. I love it. I was just out last weekend at the pool and the beach with my son wearing my sunglasses, and I was so happy about it because there were no prescription glasses. I didn't have my contact case with me, my contact solution, and my glasses case and the wipes for my glasses. None of it. It's all gone. I got LASIK done at Panu Laser and Vision Institute, and I'm here to tell you today, my name is Zach Krantz, and I'm happy I did it. I went to Panu, and I asked him a million questions. First, I scheduled my online free consultation. I went online to get my free consultation. That's at PanuLaser.com. You could also call 954-634-1642. I asked a million questions. I asked a million things about why to do this. How does this happen? What's going to happen if this and this? They answered everything. They made me feel so comfortable, and I was so excited to get it done. 10-minute outpatient procedure. That's all it took, and right then and there, I was good to go. Yeah, for about 3 minutes after the surgery, I had to sit in a room and just kind of let my eyes rest. Big deal. After the 3 minutes, I got into the car with my wife, and we drove home, and that night, I looked around and went, wow, I could see perfectly. Thank you so much, Panu Laser and Vision Institute. One of the things they told me, and I've been telling you this for months now, they performed over 50,000 LASIK procedures, and they use the most advanced technology. Really, Panu is the place to go. And if you need to get this done or want to get this done, they are the guys to go to. They offer zero down, zero interest for 24 months. And if you mention my name in this commercial that you heard on QAM, $500 off the procedure as well. Enjoy the summer. Go get the pair of sunglasses and get to the beach and just relax. And then when you're done getting this and you see perfectly, you could thank me and all the great people at Panu Laser and Vision Institute after that. So call today. Get that free consultation like I'm talking about. 954-634-1642. That's 954-634-1642. Or go online right now, PanuLaser.com, P-A-N-N-U, laser.com.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors at one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Heading out to the Summer League to talk to our friend and our buddy that covers the Miami Heat on a daily basis, Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I decided not to sleep until Russell Westbrook makes his decision. Some people go on hunger strikes. I'm going on sleep strikes. I just keep hitting the refresh button on Twitter. Fellas, let's get this over with.
You know what? I love your dedication, and the Sun Sentinel should award you for that because you are really on this Russ watch like we are. We have talked in nauseam for days. I mean, it's ridiculous about scenarios and this, and maybe this is the reason why it's not happening, or they're waiting for this or waiting for that. The latest that Ira Winderman has heard on this situation is what?
That the Miami Heat may very well be the only bidder that the Oklahoma City Thunder have at the moment, And part of the delay can be, obviously, when you're bidding against no one, you can't raise the ante. And right now, they're basically staring down at Pat Riley and saying, this is not going to end well. They're trying to find another bidder. They're trying to find someone to jump into the game. And guys, isn't it remarkable how someone who, at the end of the season, we're talking about a walking triple-double as one of the elite players in the league, and all of a sudden the size of the contract changes the entire perception of whether you want Russell Westbrook on your team, whether you want John Wall on your team, whether you want Chris Paul on your team. This really is an example of the salary cap impacting decisions more than the player's ability itself.
Yeah, Ira, we've seen and been a little, I've been a little surprised by the ability of the Heat to maneuver the roster this summer. If they take on Russell Westbrook, is there maneuverability 3-4 years down the line, or are they locked into this team most likely for the next 4 years?
You know what, Dave, I'll tell you this. We went out to dinner with a bunch of guys from the Heat and other people last night, and the one thing we've learned about the Heat, never make any generalities or assumptions about what happens to a Pat Riley roster. Because we were all sitting around talking about how, you know, I talked to you about this yesterday, Dave, how the Heat were going to be boring and they were going to be the same team and it was going to be James Johnson and Dion Waiters. And I think we were all resigned to that after last season ended, and boom, we're at least talking about Jimmy Butler this coming season, possibly, maybe even probably talking about Russell Westbrook. So when it comes to Pat Riley, it's like, again, guys, he went out and got a $32 million free agent without a single dollar to spend in cap space. So, Dave, yes. In appearances, yes, you could say if they get Butler and Westbrook, they're locked in, they're tied up. But you know what? You also said that after those really bad James Johnson and Dion Waiters contracts, and all of a sudden we're talking a different team already. I tell everyone the same thing. If you have tax problems, call Andy Ellisberg. He makes all your financial problems disappear.
It is amazing when we talked about this team 3 weeks ago and the possibilities and scenarios going into next season and what they're going to look like, and now the opportunity to possibly get Russell Westbrook. It truly is amazing. Okay, so hypothetically, this trade goes down today, tomorrow, the next day, while you're in Vegas or not. The three guys involved, as we've seen rumored, Goran Dragic, maybe Myers Leonard, and Justice Winslow, and not one of their two, I guess, rising superstar studs that they think are going to be the young guys on this team. Where are the Heat now? With that said, trade made, those three guys now shipped off. Where are the Heat now in your eyes in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I mean, first of all, you're talking about the, you know, that's the supposition of the best case scenario.
Yes.
You know, for the Heat, Dave mentioned that in his column today at the Sun Sentinel, that you can, if you can get away with that. And Jack, here's what's important: you mentioned the matching salaries with Dragic and Leonard, and that's fine. You mentioned Justice Winslow, which I think is fine in this scenario for this reason. Justice Winslow is only good when he's on the ball. Well, if you can have Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook on your roster, Justice Winslow is never going to touch the ball unless there's an injury. So I think no matter what you think of him as a player, in this scenario is expendable. It's when you get into the Tyler Heroes and the Bam Adebayos and the youth you can sort of grow on the side, Derrick Jones Jr. and another, that's when you're really compromising more than the moment. But if you're asking me, if you're going with a lineup for argument's sake of something along the lines of Bam Adebayo at center, Kelly Olynyk at the four, Jimmy Butler at the three, Tyler Hero at the two, and Russell Westbrook at the one, I think it gives you a puncher's chance for top four and home court in the playoffs in the East, based on the fact Milwaukee's still really good, even though they lost Brogdon. Philadelphia, at least on paper, in adding Al Horford and keeping Tobias Harris, has the all-star talent if Embiid and Simmons put it together. They're an elite too. Then you sort of get into the suppositions of, well, yes, Boston lost Kyrie Irving, but Kemba Walker's pretty darn good. And Gordon Hayward is getting healthier. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are getting more mature. So I probably would have Boston in there. I like Brooklyn. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, it's a year away with Kevin Durant. Right now it's just Kyrie. But I like Spencer Dinwiddie. I like Harris LeVert. So I think you would probably be there with Indiana, with what's left of Toronto, sort of battling there to try to get maybe to the number four seed. So I guess what you're really saying is this: the Heat basically could be a one-round playoff team, long shot two-round playoff team. They'll need to do more, and it'll have to come from the growth from within. Bam Adebayo will have to take major strides. Tyler Hero will have to turn his summer league, which has been awesome, into regular season play. Derek Jones will have to grow. It came from without when you bring in Westbrook and Jimmy Butler, but it also has to come from within.
All right, I want to get back. I want to get to that awesome. There's a part of me that cringes at any summer league talk. In fact, in New York, right now, the story is R.J. Barrett isn't looking good, and people are extending that to, oh, my God, is he a bust? So I don't want to go overboard with what Tyler Hero is doing, but I did watch the game the other day, and I was, oh, my God, it seems they have something. Talk yeah. about, you're in Vegas, you've seen, you've talked to people. Give us the Tyler Hero rundown at this point.
Well, first I go back to your first comment, Dave, about the Knicks and R.J. Barrett and all that. Our waiter last night at dinner is from New York. He's a Knicks fan. He told us he bet the Knicks to win Summer League, which is sort of pathetic in its own.
It's Vegas, though.
I love that guy already. Yep.
The Knicks were installed as the Summer League favorite because everyone thought with R.J. Barrett and the youth they had coming in and Kevin Knox. So even they've even found a way to embarrass themselves in the Summer League, which is hard to do. So you got that going on for the Knicks. You know what, Dave? I'll say this about Hero, is that there's been no moment that's been too big for him. So he might be uneven in his play, but he believes he belongs. He has that cockiness that you need at this level. Now, if you're asking me, if he was drafted by a terrible team and he was going to be the leading man, in other words, if he was going to be the number one guy on the Knicks or Sacramento or someone, I think, yeah, he's going to get caught up and people are going to be double and triple teaming him and realizing he's that, like Zion, someone like that. But because he'll play probably, at least now, you could even argue off the bench, he'll still get to grow into his role. But he does multiple things well. I hate when teams just draft shooters. When the Pistons just drafted Luke Kennard, it turns into a bust. When the Suns just drafted Devin Booker, he turned into a far more complete player. So I'd say on the shooter specialist spectrum, where is Tyler Hero? Fortunately for the Heat, he's more toward Devin Booker than he is to Luke Kennard. So I don't think he'll be like James Jones or Wayne Ellington, the Heat shooting specialist who never gets on the floor. He can dribble. He can penetrate. He can make plays. He can rebound. You know, I call him, my nickname for him is Hoosiers. He just reminds me of the kind of player in that movie where he just does all the technical stuff so well. He just knows how to play basketball.
All right, so the Tyler Hero kind of the lore of him and everything about him in Vegas Summer Ball and the Sacramento games, too, have been just been amazing. What about Kendrick Nunn? I saw you write something in the Sun Sentinel, and I just saw you tweet it out a little bit ago. Another name that we had no idea about. Does this guy have any shot of making this team or being something on this Heat team?
You know, it seems like every summer, people go to me, why do you go to Summer League? What does Summer League mean? And the Heat find a guy. They find a Derrick Jones. They find a Duncan Robinson. I'm not saying that this guy is even going to be a rotation player. But you know what? And Dave knows this because I know when he wrote his column, he was trying to find the next draft choice that he can trade. Well, when you trade away all of your draft choices, you have to find your youth in other ways. The Heat have done a remarkable job. I mean, you could say, okay, no draft choice a year ago, but you know what? They kept saying Derrick Jones Jr. is our draft choice, and that's why they didn't want to trade him away when they made the Butler deal. I think right now that Kendrick Nunn could be that kind of player. And again, the subtle genius of the Heat, the final day of the season, they have just enough room under the luxury tax to literally sign a player to a one-day contract. But because they did that, he becomes their property for the summer. They develop him for 2 months in the gym with Yante Mayton, with Duncan Robinson, bring him out to summer league. When you don't have draft choices, when Dave and I every year in June rip the Heat because there's no pick this year, what's Pat Riley doing? The next unfettered pick that he can trade away that's not tied to anything, first-round pick is 2028. But you know what? If you find a guy like this every summer, you make up for it. If you can do it in scouting instead of doing it in the draft, one, it's a lot cheaper because you're not paying the rookie scale first-round rate, and two, then you can put your picks into play. So you might rip the Heat for constantly trading away their future, but this is another guy you could develop who's just as good as any player drafted in the 20s.
And that gets into my national media question about the Clippers trade for Paul George. And I mentioned this in the column today. I kept reading what a massive haul they got, what a historic haul of first-round picks, what a great trade it was for Oklahoma City. And I'm thinking the only lottery unprotected deal, they first round pick they got was the Heat's in 2023, I believe.
2021. Which will now be the second year of Jimmy Butler. And whether you think Jimmy's going to be a bust or not, whether you think he's going to age out on his contract, I think you should feel good about Jimmy in year two with the Heat. Because if you don't, then you're really screwed when he's, you know, getting year three and four and getting close to $40 million. So I agree. And Dave, the last example of that was the Celtics, when they traded Garnett and Pierce and did the deal with the Nets. Yes, they turned it into Tatum. They turned it into Jaylen Brown. They turned it into Rozier. But at some point, you can't pay them all when they come up for their extensions. So all of a sudden, Rozier is gone in that sign and trade with Kemba Walker. Jaylen Brown is a nice player. I don't know if he's the be-all, end-all. Jason Tatum is a nicer player. Maybe he's an all-star. So you're right. Your draft choices can really be illusory unless you get that ultimate top three or top four player. And even then, it's not always a sure thing. So a whole bunch of draft choices, what it does is this, Dave. It gives you more chances to be wrong and still get away with something. But at the end of the day, it's just as much guesswork as it is in free agency or anything else.
All right, stay on the West Coast for a second and that Clipper team for a second. Kawhi signs a three-year, $103 million deal, player option for 21-22, and Paul George goes 4 years, $136. He's also got the player option for 21-22. Is this Clipper team going to be doomed that summer, or what do you think? Or is that just setting them both selves up for signing that massive supermax deal that they both can get? I think Kawhi would then be eligible for 4 years, $196, and Paul George, five for $254.
Yeah, but you know what, Dave? This goes back to what you said about the picks. If those guys both leave after 2 years, then those Clipper picks are going to be really, really good, including the years that Oklahoma City can do the pick swaps. So if the Clippers, are, let's say, get the number three lottery seed and the Thunder are better, they could swap into that. This shows you how you sell your soul in this game for a puncher's chance. I mean, let's look back. Let me ask you this, guys. After all the Raptors have been through in the last month, courting Kawhi, flying it to Toronto, having Drake meet with him, and losing him. Don't you think they would do the DeMar DeRozan trade all over again anyway?
Mm. Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good
question. For winning a title, yes, but now they're going to, you know, they're on the downswing of that for a whole country goes back to hockey.
My point being this, I think you just take your chance at a title. And I think what we've learned from the Heat in their four-year run in two championships is there are no enduring dynasties. What the Clippers bought was 2 years of definite hope, maybe 3 years on those contracts. Guys, that's all the Lakers bought with Anthony Davis because LeBron will age out soon enough. I think the teams like San Antonio, the way they churned from David Robinson to Tim Duncan and were a championship contender for a dozen straight years, I think that's over. I think every team literally specifies the window and says, okay, from 2019 to 2021, that's our window. I think that's how the NBA has changed. I think the dynastic teams, the Warriors are probably the last of them. And when Kevin Durant left, I think right now, the upside, the ultimate upside of the NBA is create a three-year window because players don't stay in the same place anymore. They force their ways out. They enjoy it while it's good. That's what the Clippers did. The Clippers said, we're going to buy these 3 years. The Lakers said, we're going to buy these 2 years. I think that's what you wind up doing. I don't think a team looks like Pat Riley. Dave, you know what he's talking about, the enduring champion and all that. We can have a run. I think even Pat Riley realizes that now also, that any rendition of the Heat he redoes, he's hoping for a two-year window.
Okay, Ira, bottom line here, I got some planning of my schedule to do. Is this trade talk going to go on forever? You could see it happening quickly, or could we be – there's no reason this couldn't go on until
October,
Heroes
involved.
Right?
We're talking 30 days, right?
And Dave, there's no reason that it shouldn't either because the last time I checked, no teams are playing a game with meaning for until 3 months from now, sometime in October. So again, Tyler Hero can't be traded for 30 days. Myers Leonard, you cannot aggregate a player. That means include him with another player in an outgoing trade from 60 days of the day he's acquired. That was July 7th. So you're talking until October 7th. So you can play around. But guys, the reason I think it'll linger if it does is this. Can the Thunder create a market? What you want to do when you put a player up for auction is have other people in the bidding, not one guy sitting there in the auction room when you're realizing, well, you're kind of screwed because you're going to set the price, and that's what it's going to be. They have to create a market for themselves. They have to find another team that's starting to feel desperation. Who knows? Maybe it's the collapsing Summer League Knicks that they put some players up for grabs or do something like that. But more than anything, the Thunder have to create a market. Because you know, if Pat Riley knows he's the only bidder, he ain't pushing all his chips to the middle of the table.
It is a little sad when the Knicks have three guys that could be playing like real massive minutes during the season on that Summer League team and they still can't win one, right? It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, they were even making waiters angry, so that tells you where they are right now.
The difficult thing in the Oklahoma City creating a market, though, is they need Russell Westbrook on board, too. And he's, why do I want to go to Detroit? Why do I want to go to Minnesota, right?
No, I'll tell you why, Dave. If you that whole you got to worry about that is when a player has an expiring contract. In other words, the Anthony Davis scenario last year. Remember Anthony Davis's father said if you trade him to Boston, he's going to leave after a year when he becomes a free agent. Russell Westbrook's under contract for four more years. This is more equivalent to the Blake Griffin contract. There is no way in heck that Blake Griffin wanted to go to Detroit. But he had so many years left on his deal, he had no leverage. What's Russell Westbrook? I'll put this to you guys. What's Russell Westbrook going to do? Is he going to sit out and not collect $30 million a year in his 30s? He has no leverage. This is what it comes down to, and I'm curious about this, and Dave, maybe you can give your thoughts. How much does a team owe a player for loyalty? Russell Westbrook, through thick and thin for 11 seasons, stayed when James Harden left, stayed when Serge Ibaka left, stayed when Kevin Durant left. Do the Thunder owe him anything? That is what I think it comes down to when Woj reports that Russell Westbrook would like to come to the Heat. Does that even matter? Will it affect Oklahoma City in the future? When, face it, no free agents go to Oklahoma City anyway. So, Dave, let me ask you this. From a columnist standpoint, do the Oklahoma City Thunder owe Russell Westbrook anything when it comes to getting him to a desired destination?
Well, you would hope they do right by him. And I think from a public standpoint, a company that relies on the public to buy tickets don't want to get into a spitting match with a guy who's their most high profile and best name for the last 11 years.
Yeah.
But let me ask this about contracts. Paul George signed a 5-year contract. Oklahoma City had no reason to trade him. And he worked his way, I want to go to the Clippers. With 4 years left on the contract, he went to the – so I'm not sure I agree with you that Russell Westbrook has no control over the situation here.
See, I think it's different, Dave, because Paul George didn't force his way out. Kawhi Leonard told the Clippers, the only way I sign is if you trade for Paul George. And so the Clippers made this unbelievable over-the-top offer where you might have traded any player in the NBA for 6 first-round picks, for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a great rookie prospect, and for Danilo Gallinari, who either you use for a year or flip his expiring contract. So that was more of Kawhi Leonard forcing the hand by saying, go in like no team has ever gone in with draft choices, including Brooklyn in that Garnett and Pierce deal. So I think that was a little bit different. That was with a plus one. Kawhi Leonard forced the Paul George trade, not Paul George, for the reasons I said. Paul George had absolutely no leverage. So with Russell Westbrook, if they do right by Russell Westbrook, are they doing right by their fans? As far as getting the best possible product. For example, Blake Griffin is from Oklahoma. What if Blake Griffin's available from the Pistons? And now all of a sudden you can bring back a local attraction to your team and maybe a draft choice. You see, that's what I mean. Where is the obligation from Oklahoma City? Is it to do right by the 11-year veteran who's done right by them? Or is it to do right by their fans who've already bought season tickets for this year, next season, and seasons to come to give them the best product? That's what I'm curious about, how they're going to handle this whole thing.
All right, Ira, get back to that breakfast buffet. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm still finishing dinner. Thank you, guys.
See you later. Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. We'll take a quick break. We'll react to Ira Winderman next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Mike Wilmer. All my girls do yoga. All my girls do yoga. Hey, all my girls do yoga. All my girls do yoga. Hey, think it high at night. Think it high at night.
All right, we got a text that said we're talking too much Russell Westbrook. So Dave Hyde, next segment. We'll break down every single game left in the Marlins season, one by one, win or loss.
I thought we'd get back to Slurpees. Is that the suggestion there?
Actually, that's what we should get back to. The Slurpee talk was good. Wow, lots going on with this Russell Westbrook stuff, all from Vegas all the way out here to Miami. It is the talk of the town. It is everything anyone's talking about when it comes to the NBA. Yesterday, we mentioned with Ira, Kawhi Leonard signing a three-year, $103 million deal, player option for 21-22, and Paul George is on that four-year, $137 million deal. He's got a player option for 21-22. Either they're setting themselves up for two massive deals from the Clippers or setting themselves both up for an exodus out of La La Land. Either way, if you're a Clipper fan right now, you're happy because you have them both. But in the back of your head, you got to be scratching your head a little bit, right?
But this is the way it's got. LeBron did that with Cleveland, right? When he went, players keeping their options open.
Yes, the one-year deal with the player option for year two.
The money's
yes.
only going north, so why? And they're still, when those, what's Kawhi, 28 now? So it'll be 30.
He's young.
He can still sign a massive deal at the end of that. Just and
4-196 would be the deal.
This puts pressure on the team to keep moving forward, to putting the best team around and spending money that they can.
The full bird rights would be for Paul George. He would be eligible at the end of that for 5 years, $254 million. And Kawhi's would be 4 years, $196.
Staggering number.
That's a lot of money.
I remember back then when Marino signed 5 years, $25 million, and people thought that was a lot
Holy
of money.
Holy moly, $5 million for a quarterback.
You know, 10 years from now, this money won't seem so big.
No. Oh, my God. Staggering when you think about it right now. It's also, you go back to when the Heat, Brennan Gorin, and they signed into that deal, and you saw the average of, like, between $17 and $20 million a year, and you're like, this guy isn't worth it? Are you kidding? Now guys are getting double that. If Russell Westbrook comes down here, and you look at that contract, like we've said, and I'm okay with it, but if you were upset with the Gorin deal, this is going to be double and double more each year, starting with the first year, basically. Because if Gorin's at 19, Russell's already at 38 and change for this year coming up. Then all of a sudden it goes up, 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 up. You have to look around the league right now and see that all these teams that are paying for superstars are way overpaying for guys, and you just have to because the money's huge in the
NBA.
But
they're not
right now.
Overpaying. Who makes the money? The owners. There's that much money right now.
There's so
in
much
the
money
NBA.
In those TV deals. You're right. There's so much money in those TV deals. If you're a top flight superstar NFL player right now, you're cringing, right?
Any NFL player, you don't have guaranteed deals. The money, you know, you talk someone with the Dolphins making $10 million. That's a lot by NFL standards.
Sure.
And it's the average. It's not even average by NBA. I think the average NBA contract is $11 or $12 million
that
right
is
now.
Unbelievable. That says it all right there for the NBA. An average contract is in upwards of $10 million. And we have two quarterbacks signed for next season that won't make $10 million combined. Josh Rosen and Ryan Fitzpatrick together will not make $10 million next year. We're talking about a guy who's probably the 10th man on a team. 9th or 10th. 4th or 5th in the rotation off the bench, making $8, $9, $10 million a year.
NBA players and baseball players, for that matter, do not understand the NFL. And the fact that there are not guaranteed contracts in the NFL, they it blows their mind.
Kirk Cousins, that's it.
And yet it's the nature of the sports and the leverage of the players in the different sports. The NFL players are interchangeable.
Yes.
You know, other than, you know, the quarterbacks and a couple other players for the most part. And the NFL owners have done a great job of reminding them of that at times.
Paul George wants out of Oklahoma City, wants to go to the Clippers, gets traded there the next day. Odell Beckham wants out of New York, rumors to go to Buffalo. And we said this the other day. That's it. When you demand a trade in the NFL, the first team that always comes up to scare you out of that, so hopefully, is, oh, yeah, we have a deal in place with Buffalo.
And the second one is Cleveland. Of course, Cleveland
became
a better landing spot. I'm not sold on them being a great team, but it's certainly a better landing spot than it was 3 years ago.
All right, 2 hours down, two more to go. The Russ watch is still on, and we'll get more into the Slurpee conundrum we're in this morning with Dave Hyde. Yes. I use that word. I still don't know what it means, but it sounded good there. We'll be back in a second.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.